settle in, get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
I'm Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to help you stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This show is a metaphysical and spiritual show that has virtually no boundaries in its content. The information we are able to bring is without religious bias or persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Each week, we discuss a different topic, and our hope is that we give you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind, that you may find inspiration and upliftment, motivation and empowerment through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery, and today's show is about special children. We hear so many different names and descriptions for these children, like indigo or crystal children, and we thought it would be great to find out the truths and the myths surrounding some of the stories that we hear. But first, I'd like to tell you a little bit about ourselves. Sylvia and I are spirit mediums, spirit healers, and authors, and we have four books: The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic, and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. They are available from Amazon.com and bookstores, and from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And we recommend you go through the website if you want to know more about us. As well as Spirit's Work on bloginservice.com every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have another radio show called Spirit Teaching Radio Show, which is on artistfirst.com every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I am a deep trance medium, and I'll just explain a little about what that is. If you can imagine going into a deep sleep very quickly, or even having been given an anesthetic to go into an operation, then this is a comparison and a sense of what I go through. Actually, what happens to begin with is that I'm able to subdue my conscious mind through meditation so the spirit world can transfer it with my spirit to another place. I have an experience similar to the outer body state of astral traveling. I will not know of anything that happens in my physical life during the time while I'm away, while my consciousness visits wherever the spirit guides take me. No two times of doing this are the same either, because then I would come to expect a particular thing to happen, and that would disturb the way it is brought about, as it is initiated through the absence of thought. I will not recollect anything of the event afterwards either, and to me, it may seem as though just a minute or two has passed, when in actual fact, more than an hour or two may have elapsed in physical time. While this is happening, the spirit world are able to manipulate certain parts of my physical body, so they can speak through it using my voice box, and use my arms and hands to gesture and animate their thoughts. So that is what people would witness if they were watching it take place, as they do at seminars. My eyes will be closed, of course, as this is always the case if someone is truly in a deep trance state. The spirit who will be speaking through me today is someone called Gregory Hay, and while I get prepared to go into trance, Sylvie will tell you a little more about him. So goodbye for now.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for an educational group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. And it was through Gregory's endearing personality and wonderful communication skills that he was selected and asked to be the representative of this team. Because of the massive scientific background and eminent minds of the White Cloud Group, they are able to go way beyond the constraints and limitations of our human minds. They have answers to our quantum theory puzzles and the mysteries of our world, which have been so far difficult to understand or explain. They consist of scientists, physicists, alchemists, geophysicists, medics, and scholars of all description, as well as ordinary people who are trying to be of assistance by arming us with knowledge and showing us how we may become in harmony with each other and all things, and consequently save the planet, because they care about us and our world, as do all our loved ones from the ether world. They want to see us better our lives and raise our vibration and intent and to become more than we are. So, thank you. If you've just joined us, you're about to listen to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and we're going to be discussing special children. I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friends. Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. I am so honored, as always, to be in your presence, little bird, and I thank you so much for inviting us and making this time available so that we bring communication from the ether world to your side of life.
Yeah, thank you. So, we hear that these special children can be called many different things: indigo children, crystal children, children of the new earth, and that they have come to raise the vibration of the planet. They are different, they are exceptional in many ways, apparently, and that they are primary here to bring us the enlightenment to ascend ourselves on this planet. So what do you have to say? Should we start there?
Well, dear friend, to begin with, is it not the case that all children who come from the light are special, every single one? There is no denying that some children, in some cases, may well experience or deliver certain elements of their awareness that is different from other children. And what we have to do, first of all, is actually look at the mechanical effect of that and where that comes from. To our side of life, many beings who have a physical life, they may understand and remember much of their journey in the spirit world, their journey within the purity sea, as it allows them to gather information, allows them to give loving moments to other beings who have had a physical life and others who still as yet remain as pure spirit within the purity sea. It may well be that many children experience memories of this awareness of their journey within the ether world, within the spirit light. This remembrance, clear as it may be, is something that many children will have at first instance. It is something that also many in physical state will lose purely because of their environment. So, what, my dear friends, you have to observe of self, of your behavior in the physical world, is when you have children or when you meet with children, any children, it will be that some of them will display these outer world characteristics, enhanced intellect. Perhaps they have a beautiful vibration or aura about them. Perhaps they are gifted in other ways. They may be very sensitive. They may have many other particular peculiarities otherwise would not exist. Now, I am not talking and saying that all of these things will be present purely because they have memory of their life within the ether world. What I am saying to you is that that is one cause, one possible element that may drive that apparent gift or knowledge. Other things to do with children are particularly at variance with this. It may be that a child actually is enhanced purely by the mechanical genetics of their ancestry. It may well be that children, for example, may adopt certain principles of intellect. Perhaps their brain function is something of extraordinary quality, has been delivered to them purely through their genetic ancestry. It may well be also that also through genetics they have been brought other elements to do with their intelligence that perhaps some would view as a learning deficiency, whilst others praise it as a welcome addition to their sensitive qualities and their inner charm and wisdom. So you must look at it in different ways. Do not always paint that just because one child is obviously very special, that these qualities come from some superior race or some superior knowledge. Every being has the possibility that this knowledge may be retained by you. But it is just that for some children it remains intact, and from others it is dissipated, perhaps through the environmental situation, the behavior that has been brought about within the family group. You must also, dear friends, fully understand the impact of emotional state and behavior differences that may occur within the environment that are caused and created by different pressures that are brought about upon the child, either positive or negative. So we have to understand that in physical life, if you are a parent and you continue to constructively manage a child's education, that you bring input and creativity to that child from a very earliest of age, then that in itself will mean the child's identity will never be lost. I am talking, of course, about his or her identity from the ether world.
So, if you encouraged your child and you are sensitive to the possibilities of your child, but not, but that you don't go over the top and treat your child that differently, then it will keep those qualities.
Yes, of course, and it will
in a pure form.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. And also, of course, it will be grounded in its essence. It will not feel itself fulfilled within its egotism that some children are unfortunately tarnished with in this state of origin.
Well, the thing is, I've been doing some research on this, and there are many books.
How very good of you, friend.
Many books on these children. And it seems to have stretched not only from the gifted children now to children that are, it includes children that are non-conformist. Did your child come into the world acting like royalty? Does it have difficulty with discipline and authority and refuse to do certain things that they are told to do? Does your child display symptoms of attention deficit disorder? I mean, and it...
Well,
it, you know, I mean, it runs in, I mean, that could be food additives, it could be
anything, well, we need to discuss that.
Okay, okay.
So let us take them one at a time, perhaps. If we are looking at a child who is aware of self, but is also in some way aloof of the situation surrounding them, perhaps. Perhaps they are completely isolated themselves in that way, standoffish within communication. These are not necessarily qualities that are endearing to such a being. You must understand that how some forms of behavior are created because of the way in which the parlance between parentage, between the behavior of parents towards their children. I admit being special, perhaps in some ways, gifted even in some adopted attitudes that they may have, and through their retained memory from the ether world. Still, that does not give them the carte blanche attitude to be surveying the weaker beings, the lesser mortals that surround them. Surely it is something that you would want them to be as grounded and as close and sensitive toward other people's needs, rather than feeling that they are set apart themselves. Although I do understand that these children may feel that way, it is something that is not, should not, in our opinion, be pursued. Or, you understand, it is something that is perhaps allowed to continue rather than shouldered in some way into, so that the child actually experiences reality in the truest form.
Well, I guess it could be, and it could be a natural emotional, how can I say, it can be a natural effect from the child feeling that they are, that everything does come easy to them, they are gifted, they are intelligent, and then they would get frustrated. But it could also be that parents of these children elevate their egos to such an extent that they act out.
Yes, quite so.
And they look down on.
Yes, quite so. Which, as I say, is always something that is not really inspiring in itself. It is rather obdurate. It is rather unnecessary that any one being in physical state should feel themselves aloof of any other being.
Mm. Yes, it's not a nice trait to have.
It is
whoever
not.
Whoever you are. Yeah.
Yes, quite so.
Yeah. But is there, are there more of these children that are being able to remember where they've just come from in the spirit world? Is there a trend to that way? Because I know we do need it.
Yes, my dear friend, absolutely so. I agree. And what you must also realize, however, before I fully answer that question, is that exponentially civilization has moved forward. And you cannot take that away from it, which means that genetics and the mutation of the different form and species, the different tribal intraits that occur within all family units, these also have a bearing upon this march toward progress, if you like. Civilization must move forward in some respects. So much of what you are seeing is that the dominance of these propensities within the genetic field. If you look yourself at what these children's traits are, you will begin to discern that, yes, they are special, and they are truly needed. But it is not something that is solely secular to now. It is something that throughout past history, throughout the ancient histories, even of the Incan Empire or from Egyptian, ancient Egyptian rule, from Abyssinian children, from dialects of peoples that lived thousands and thousands of years ago, have all encountered at one time or another special gifted children, children who were able to bring, identify beautiful, spiritually uplifting inner qualities, gifts of supreme wonder that have brought many people to understand that other qualities exist purely from the ether world, and that these children have been blessed indeed to be able to retain them. As I say, much of this retention is due to the fact of the parentage behavior. Some will even manage to retain their beautiful gifts, their beautiful minds, in spite of their parents' behavior or in spite of their ancestry. It may well be that these children come from a poor dwelling. It may be that they are stifled in every way throughout their physical life, and yet they manage to retain, through the power of will and their assertion and understanding, that their thoughts and the messages they have to give are truly right and breathtaking. Does not mean to say that they come from a power base of ego to be fulfilled, or that they are from some selfish want or desire. It merely means that these children, as special as they are, may well have the sensitivity to create the right unit of understanding for others to allow them to be.
Yes, they may have difficult challenges to overcome, but it's the way they do it.
Absolutely so. For instance, you may well find that many children in this way, as well as those who have particular gifts of the spirit, may well identify with being ostracized by those of their peers. They may actually be identified as dangerous, positively reckless, by those who are around them, purely because they do not walk in the same path as they do, do not follow the mass, as it were. And this sometimes can lead to behavioral problems, fractured relationships, perhaps with their parents or with their siblings, with their rivalry, with their peers, whoever that is. It may be that they actually undergo very traumatic situations and circumstances, and that they are still, for some of them, able to rise above that, to challenge it and conquer it through their own courage and advanced well-being.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're listening to Spirit's Work, and Spirit Guide Gregory Hay is being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery, and we're discussing special children. I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome. So the name indigo is indicative of the life color that they are supposed to carry in their auras. Is this correct?
It is.
Right.
It is also true to say that many other children who have special gifts retained from their spirit journey in the ether world will also have other colored auras. So it is not a particulate of one particular thing, and therefore that you acknowledge that only those with that specific aura color will be especially gifted in that way. That is something that is unfortunate and has been painted by those with special knowledge in order to, as it were, how can I say, certify themselves as being those who would, who have the greatest
claim,
understanding or claim for these kinds of descriptions of people.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But does anything different or memorable happen to them in the womb?
Well, this again is something that beings in physical time must align themselves to and realize fully. It may well be that for some people they feel that a fetus in the womb is merely a being that is not yet human, of human descent. It may be that they only regard humanity as something that breathes life. But that is not true. It is simply a mistaken identity. Humanity begins at the inception. That does not mean to say one life is any less precious than another. It merely means to state that the process of the division and the joining between the spirit and the physical state has already begun at the moment of conception. Is it to say then that these children retain what element of their journey within the womb before their physical birth? Some may. Most certainly, music will be something that is quite distinctly remembered. So, music may play a very important part in the well-being of the child whilst it is still in the womb. You may, for example, play classical music, or it may even be music with a beat to it, music that has very soaring chords or melodies that ring a closeness to the vibration of intent. Perhaps they are inspirational messages. You see, so many different things can bring so many different changes. One thing I would have to say that is very good for enhancing a child's life before they are actually physically born is to play whale music.
Ah.
Because that is something that a child within the womb will completely identify with as being a message from home.
Gosh, that's interesting. Whale song.
Yes, friend.
And I can see how that would work.
You see, it will not bring about primal fear. It will release those fears that may exist. Perhaps if the child in the womb is experiencing a difficult home life, or perhaps the mother is distressed, you see, these different situations can bring about problems for the child. It is very good to remember that music plays a central and important part in the development of the child, just the same as loving awareness will from both parents, you see.
Well, yes.
Now, it is not to say either in this statement that I have just made that those mothers who do not have their other partner with them are less fortunate or will be at odds adversely with the life of their unborn child because they do not have the loving relationship that perhaps their child would benefit from. Does not mean to say that mother would be any less loving to their child if the other partner is not available to return that love, you see.
Yes, yes, of course.
And so we are most definitely not pointing any fingers or wishing to single anyone out into saying that they are a lesser being because their relationship or the environment in which they are being they are going to be bearing this child is less than perfect.
Mm.
Needs must, and situations arise in physical life that direct that difficult times may come about.
Mm.
It is just that those who are with child should always try to be more mindful of the possibilities of bringing beauty to that child through a loving environment. And that loving environment will invariably create a more wholesome attitude within the child itself. And this is any child. It matters not whether they are wanting to be have the bearing of special children or whether a child just is. It is allowing any child to be within their own right. That is important.
Yes, no, I mean, I can imagine these special children, say the ones that have are very intelligent, they will do really well anyway in schools.
Yes.
Although I know a lot of schools are pushed for large classes and everything. But the other children who are maybe gifted in other ways that are more emotional and spiritual sensing ways may find themselves going, not being able to keep up, really. So it's striking the balance between them. And I know that you always, we've talked before, probably not on this show, but about Waldorf schools. Now, they
yes.
incorporate mind, body, and soul, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. Very.
More holistic approach.
Yes, quite so. For example, they do not do formal reading until a specific age. Many parents may well see this as a formidable hurdle to their child's learning and capability. What they do produce is that children who go to these kinds of places mean that they are brought into contact fully with development from the ether world. The way in which they are treated very often may result in a child becoming behaviorally difficult. Some children do not bulk with it well at all and actually rebel instinctively against it. So it is not necessarily something that would be especially possible for every child. But it is to say, dear friends, that yes, it is to do with the way in which Rudolf Steiner actually understood the development between the spirit and the physical being state and how that can be enhanced and welcomed into the physical world. You see, and you must understand that many problematic developments that may occur within children arise because of conflict, arise because of the difficulty, perhaps, of the interaction with the physical state. For some children who suffer from possible specific genetic misplacements, it may well be that these have come about because of the positioning between the spirit and the physical state. It may be that the child has not completely enveloped with the information coming from the spirit. It may be that the spirit etheric cord has been interrupted during the process of its growth, during the adhesion process.
And you mean their own spirit, don't you?
I do indeed. Now, what I'm saying is that from the moment of conception then, that the relationship between the spirit of the child and the physical state itself becomes a gradual process of growth of the etheric bead between the spirit and the physical state. This is something that over the gestation period of 9 months in the case of humanity, or longer or shorter in the case of different animals from other species, it is noted that sometimes there becomes difficulties within the process. These simply may arise just through the atmosphere or through the environmental process that is happening around the child. So you can see that perhaps it may be that particular minerals may be present within the atmosphere of the physical being, which makes it more difficult and more possible that the spirit will not be truthfully aligned with the physical state. For example, it may be that some forms of extreme energy difference may occur, even if that is only for a small period of time. I am talking of perhaps it is to do with radioactivity. I am well aware that there is a background radiation intent upon physical Earth, but that sometimes this may be fluctuated to a very greater or lesser degree by physical action, by situations that come about in the physical state. And this can actually be something that brings a harm toward the spirit engaging with the physical being. And this itself can bring about a problem that forms and looks like something that is obtained genetically in the actual process of cellular structure, in the way that cells divide or are maintained. So what I'm saying is that, you see, different situations may affect a child as it is within the construction of the being state. It may be something that comes into conflict at a time that is most precious to do with how the spirit itself connects with the physical body during the progress of growth.
So can you give us an example of that, of the radioactive substance?
I can honestly say that you will possibly see that autism is a particular state of genetic structure. Some align it to very specific problems that occur within the genetic state of a being. However, it is also something that is caused through the fluctuation of environment and the way in which the spirit has become misaligned with the physical body. What I'm saying is that Rudolf Steiner knew this very well, and that what he created within the buildings and structures that were predominant at that time, and this was all documented and understood by many who continue to recreate these dwellings, is that if you have a building without sharp corners, or that are painted in very specific colors, you will help to entice the disarrangement between the spirit unity and the physical being back into a more harmonic unity.
Become more aligned.
Yes, that's right.
So they would be pastel colors and...
Yes, quite so.
Healing colors.
Yes, quite so. And these children, of course, will benefit greatly from healing. They will also benefit greatly from union with dolphins, from hearing whale song, from very many different kinds of approaches that can be made in a holistic and harmonic way to invite them in. You can use color therapy. Different forms of music can actually be enhancing to a child who is suffering from this kind of form. I'm not saying that it readily become apparent that all is fixed and fine and beautiful from such an arrangement. But what I'm saying is that situations may be made more holistically safer for the child. You will see that such a child will have very wondrous techniques and abilities. Perhaps they have a mental agility far superior to their proposed intellect that they should have. They will be singularly minded in one specific area or subject. That is because it is part of the memory they have retained from their life as a spirit being, perhaps due to the interactions they have had with many loved ones in the spirit world from their ether world journey.
Well, that's really going to be really beneficial for a lot of people, I'm sure. But, I mean, treating any child with respect as an equal should be the case in any case, shouldn't it?
Yes, of course. And I'm not either in saying all of that, that this is something that is predominantly created through some rise in the actual possibility of the energy of one's particular form or another. I am saying that this can be something that arises from many different situations. It may be something that comes about from electrical storms, for example, because they also change the atmospheric and the possible metabolic rate of the child, even within the womb.
I see.
So there may be different environmental creations which go to enhance or change the ability of the spirit to fully join with the child. It may also be something that can bring pressure upon the genetic structure if it is not as strong as it might be, you see? And so if there is a weakness that exists there, it can sometimes be something that triggers a difference in cellular structure.
And living next to electrical stations, that wouldn't be good?
Well, it is not something that we advocate. Because it is always that we are mindful that there will be these different influences, and I know full well that many scientific minds will balk quite completely against this proposal, purely by stating that electrical interference has nothing whatsoever to do with any metabolic rate or any child and their developmental growth. It is to say that within the ether world, these situations may present problems, and that is something that can be mimicked or carried through within the cellular structural growth of the embryo before it becomes born, and also during the early years of the child's life.
I don't suppose it's very good for anybody. Full stop.
Exactly so. There are also many other things to do with radio waves, to do with the way in which different wave technologies have been brought about within the physical relationship that disturbs the relationship between the child and spirit. It is exactly the same way that you will see that and observe in the way in which migratory birds behave, perhaps many of them losing their way, certain species actually being caused to abandon their flight, purely and simply through the situation of the ergonomics of the environment that they are within at that time. And this is something that reacts between their spirit behavior and their actual physical genetic instinct from their ancestry.
So in schooling, they can be noticed, these special children can be noticed in an academic way.
Yes.
Or a gifted way of some description that might in music or...
Well, yes, of course. But again, dear friend, I say to you quite bluntly, this is something that many different children will have.
Anyway.
Many of you have special gifts. It is only that you refuse to see them, acknowledge them. It is only that you have not continued to understand the processes that were begun at the point of your inception.
And the children that actually, from a very young age, remember, say, hear things like little children telling their mummy that they knew them before, or they weren't their mummy before. They're not their real mummy, and they know where they died, and
yes,
things to do with a past life and that sort of thing. It's nothing to do with that.
It is not. It is to do with their life in the ether world and the close relationship they, as spirit beings, grew up with in the ether world. You must understand that the exchange of love between spirit in the ether world is so much more powerful and stronger. It brings a closer tie that no physical being has experienced or rarely experienced in physical life. That is because in the ether world, love is something without, something that has no identity or barrier to obstruct it. Love is just purity of being. Love is something that coats one another with absolution. Is perfect, because that is the elemental energy that is and brings awareness to every being in the ether world.
And or they might be as well, that they can be very sensitive to their spirit guides, and if they're treated right and well and encouraged and led a well balanced life and home life, hopefully that will continue.
Yes, of course. Yes, and it is not to say that we single out any particular child, you see.
No, any child.
It is that what we wish to bring about is the understanding toward physical beings that they themselves have special gifts, that everyone has a special peculiarity within their own difference from one another, and that each and every one of you, if you are positively active, if you may decide to look upon yourself in a different way, not in the negative way, or perhaps look at yourself in a way that you had not seen before. It is all to do with how you interpret incoming information to your mind. Do you say that you are inspired from something off within or from something that is without? Are you inspired by your environment, and that is something that is causing you to think in the way that you do? Or are you inspired by the remembrances of the things that you encountered as a pure spirit being within the ocean sea?
But the main thing is that we must be careful not to isolate these sugar, because we're careful that we're not going to do an us and them, isn't it? And
yes, of course.
Special children are just going to be put on these pedestals, and the other children that are equally as special but aren't getting called special, there's going to be an unhealthy.
Yes, because
gap,
that then becomes a lesser being,
yes,
in that state.
Yes, yes.
And every child is special, even the one who apparently brings about a negative, totally horrendous attitude from the moment they are born. But it may be that what you have to look at is their environmental background and how you can actually change that child's demeanor, how you can actually perceive and understand where that child has come from, is something that I understand has taken many psychologists many years to unravel. It is something not from a previous life, but may have been from an encounter within the spirit world, because do not forget that as spirit beings within the ether world, you may encounter negative as well as positive and beautiful energies. You may be asked to assist as a spirit of purity, to be assisting those who are of negativity and ill will, who have descended to that place because of their physical attrition in physical life, that they have brought back with them to the ether world. Very often, beings are particularly strongest in the way in which they try to bring healing within the ether world practices. We are all involved in trying to make right, in bringing our energy, and our cause is always in a giving way to help others. Sometimes some children may retain these memories of their work that they have been involved in the spirit world.
There's lots of things to think about, isn't there? And there's also talk of adult indigos as well, that this has been going on for quite a while, and that you could be an adult indigo. Is this true? That I know we're not trying to divide, but...
No, and we are not saying that these are all untruths. All we are saying is that you must look at these situations in the true light, not in the way of it being a particular dilemma of the way in which creation has now processed civilization into the mass this far, that you are particularly exalted within this particular age because there are so many special people of one form or another. Who made them special? What makes them special is what you have to look upon. Is it that they are exalted by others and so have raised their status themselves? Or is it something that is genuinely formed from the work they have done within the ether world before they had a physical experience? And that it is just a retention of that connection with the ether world and their experience. That is my point. That yes, it is a special significance, but it is not something that is particularly singled out and makes them above anyone else. I am well aware that many people adhere to the ascensionism ideal, that is, that humanity are always inextricably moving upward in their ability to be spiritually aware or operational in their identity. It is to say that this ascensionism is something that does not necessarily mutate into actual factual analysis, purely and simply because civilizations may become degenerate because of some situation with the physical environment. It may be that they move into war. It may be that situations are brought about that mean that there becomes a decline in the actual physical abilities, that there becomes a decline in the mental processes from one form and nature to another.
Do you think that we put too much emphasis on in our educational system, on in the academic side of things, and that we don't work enough on the spiritual, more holistic approaches with children in general?
I would say that there is a disproportionate situation that has been brought about through the ever-increasing will to try to bring beings into greater alignment with their productivity, into how they are going to serve the mass in their walk of life. And that, unfortunately, their spirituality perhaps has been put to one side, has been set aside. It is not to say that learning techniques or a child's ability to learn means that they always will miss out upon other directions in their life. People should always try to identify their own self-state and that of their child's education with a more holistic approach of being at one with and identifying with the nature of their existence, no matter what they are learning. That is something set aside from self. It is certainly going to increase the possibility of the child's awareness intellectually, but does it necessarily mean that that intellectualism will become something that will continue to stimulate the experience of the spirit and the physical being, or will it be something that will stifle it?
What about meditation?
Well,
for children?
Yes, I was just about to come to that. In fact, it is something that can be practiced and illuminate a child in any one day. You could invite a child to meditate, to have a quiet time. You do not have to call it meditation itself. You could just invite it to have a quiet time where everything is relaxed, where the child does not have to think about equations or a particular language learning ability or anything else in the physical aura. It can be that you just encourage the child to be at peace and at one with self, to find that nesting place, that place of calm and peace of within. If you allow a child that space to do that, and it takes, as I say, perhaps just 15 minutes in any one day, if you allow them to do that and retain that individuality and that understanding of the upper and higher self, the greater the consciousness will be retained from those early days of their journey from the ether world.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory. It's been wonderful once again.
Thank you, my dear friend. And as ever, with absolute love and light to all of those who may, at some time or another, listen to these words, it is with absolute joy, as always, that we have given of what we are, and that we leave you at this time with the love within us. Good day.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to Gregory, and thank you for everybody who may have joined us. You know, our mission statement is to bring truthful information to you and knowledge through our gifts of spirit, to enhance your lives and the lives of others, hopefully, and to restore the balance and well-being of the planet. And that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And our books are available at shops and on Amazon. And join us on our radio shows. But until then, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.